Thank you, Betsy. When we lived in the Niagara region in Grimsby, we once went to the mall. Remember Sears? And we went into Sears, and we were looking for a new mattress. And we were testing out all the different mattresses to seeing which one would be best for us. I cannot tell the difference, you know, and when you're at the store. They all kind of feel the same. But our little toddler, she was testing all of them, bouncing on from one to the next, having a great old time. But we were serious. We needed to pick a mattress. And yet, we were deep in thought on which one to purchase. We turned around, and she was gone. So we're in the department store. We're in Sears. It's pretty big. There's mattresses all over in different sections. But she was gone. She was missing. You know, and this is every parent's, like, worst nightmare, right? You get that feeling, uh-oh. And choosing a mattress didn't matter anymore, of course. Finally, though, we were looking around frantically, and we spotted her. We ran over, and, you know, obviously the relief of the child, and we threw our arms around them. I got to admit, I was probably a little grumbly. But, where were you? What are you doing? Anyways, but the point is we were so happy. She was found. We could throw our arms around her. I don't even think we bothered looking at mattresses anymore. But in some ways, I think this parable is a little bit like this lost sheep. You know, just God's response to finding what was lost. Our passage, in some ways, both of them are a little bit troubling. You've got the lost sheep, and you also have the Apostle Paul. So this is God's person that God chooses in Paul. And what does the text say about who Paul was? In his own words, Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. Yikes. This is who God is choosing to lead this new movement, as Joe explained, the new Israel into what God was going to do for the world. This is who God chooses? Not the resume you're looking for, right? Not quite. Paul actually had a bit of a problem in defending God. He thought he was doing right. He was very religious. And Paul had this, anybody else have this problem where Jesus taught about this? You're looking at the splinter in your brother's eye, and yet we have the log, right? You're looking for the splinter in your brother's, and we have the log in our eye. Paul has this problem as well. He was busy trying to pull that splinter out of others, and yet he was going in the wrong direction himself. And in Luke's gospel, we hear parables that make us stop and think, too. You've got the 99, and there are dangerous predators out there, and yet the shepherd is willing to leave the 99 to go for the one. This doesn't make sense. I don't know if it's just me, but it doesn't make sense. Why would you do that just for one sheep that's gone astray? And then yet this is what the parable is about. The one wanders off. Wouldn't you just cut your losses? Or even the woman who loses the coin. She's got 9 other ones. By burning that lamp, you're probably burning more than that one coin is worth. And yet she goes ahead, turns on the lamp, sweeps the house. She could have been out there earning more money. No, she burns the lamp, sweeps the house, and looks for the lost coin. Why such an extravagant effort for something so small and insignificant? Jesus tells these parables in response to the grumbling of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the scribes, who were upset that he was welcoming, this is the context, Jesus was welcoming the wrong people. That's why he tells the parable. Jesus is welcoming the tax collectors and sinners. Now, my dad's a tax collector. He's an accountant. And in every age, I mean, we don't like being taxed. So even today, sometimes, you know, we get taxed. And sinners. Jesus was eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. It's troubling. It's maybe troubling in our own time too. But God doesn't just protect the 99 good ones or write off the stubborn, wandering sheep. God values the one that's lost. God goes after the coin that isn't shiny or useful. God goes after the lost one too, the one that's dirty under the table, the ones the world might give up on. If we're honest, like the Pharisees, maybe we'd have to admit that we'd prefer to stay safe with the 99 than to go wandering off looking for those people that are out there. You know, if we think of our world today, the state of our world, it's anything but celebratory. God celebrates when the lost are found. In our world today, it's dark. I mean, don't you wish there were more parties and laughter instead of what we're going through right now? There's too much unkindness, too much division and bitterness, too much violence. And people are talking today about the evil that they're experiencing and that they see on the television or on the newspaper or on social media. It's true that hurt people hurt people. And yet it seems that this cycle just seems to be accelerating at a faster and faster pace. Think about the headlines. Young people's lives cut short tragically. Communities torn apart by war, terrorism and mass shootings, nations destabilized by greed and corruption, and we see people even gloating over other people's pain, as if another's downfall is something to celebrate. From assassinations to occupations, from street violence to online harassment, the trajectory isn't going very well. And it's not only in distant places, it's close to home. Right here, too, there's a lack of compassion. There's no civility anymore. Words become weapons. Outrage has become entertainment for us to enjoy, really? I'll admit, I've stepped back from social media for the past 7 months, and when I go on, it's so alarming. Everybody's outrage. Safe that people are safe behind keyboards, and they can let loose whatever they want, and there's no repercussions. Underneath all of this is something even more troubling. We've lost the sense of anybody's worth. People are created in God's image, and this is how we treat people. We can cancel them in a moment, and it's deeply at odds with the heart of God. The good news of the kingdom, the heartbeat of God, is that God cares for the lost. God is always going after the lost one. Going after the one who set aside. The truth is not conditional. It's not limited. It's not fragile. God cares about people, period. No matter where we're born, no matter the color of our skin, no matter our politics, no matter where we're from, God is for people, period. None of those things cancel out God's love. And this is the foundation of the gospel. That God cares for this world. Paul's discovery in 1 Timothy, he openly admits, yes, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. I was unworthy by every standard of being an apostle. And yet he discovered that there is no condemnation in Christ, but mercy. The living God can transform people's hearts. That's the good news. And even those who have done something wrong to us, God can transform them. He came to this realization that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then he was judged to be acceptable. This is good news. God sent his son not to condemn the world, but to save it, to save us. By grace, through faith, we are saved. And Paul's life was turned upside down by this idea. The man who hunted Christians became the man planting churches. Amazing. Amazing. He discovered that his life was no longer his, but his life was a gift to serve other people. Paul took up the power of the towel and began washing people's feet because this is what the Lord had called him to. A new heart. He gave Paul a new heart. Paul was rescued to bless others and to serve others. This is the good news of the gospel. And this is what Jesus drives home in Luke 15. Shepherd leaving the 99 to go after the one. A woman sweeping her whole house to try to find that lost coin. This is the heart of God. It pursues, it searches, it calls. And when it finds us, there's so much joy. There's a party, lots of parties, celebrating. It is true that when we have experienced mercy and love, it does change us. Old patterns begin to die out. Sometimes we slip back into old patterns of thinking, but the good news is God's love doesn't ever stop pursuing us. Have you heard the expression that God, I know this is kind of a, maybe even a bit crude, but if you have a dog, you know what I'm talking about. They call God the hound of heaven. Do you get that? The hound relentlessly searches, goes after the one that he loves. The hound of heaven keeps searching and searching and won't give up. God's love will not give up, keeps seeking out the lost, persistently, lovingly, until he finds. And we catch a glimpse of this in our own ministry. At the food bank, where volunteers and clients, they build relationships with local people. We see it not just about bags of groceries, bags and bags of care that are given out, but the dignity and care that's given out through the interactions with people. We see people's faces uplifted as the conversation continues and people are joking and having a good time and sharing compassion when people are struggling. This is what it means. Not only a place of need, but it becomes a place where grace is shared. We see this at messy churches. We're around craft tables, and one of the young ones says, "I love Jesus." And we're like, "Wow, where did you learn that?" "Oh, messy church." "Okay, wonderful." This is a place where grace is shared, where kids can ask questions, and it reminds us that God is already at work seeking out people, seeking out his creation, seeking out people created in God's image to discover that they too are part of the family of God. These are living parables in our midst, happening right before us. They show us that God still seeks and finds, God still celebrates, and inviting others to the table, always. Our world doesn't need more shouting or division. It needs communities like ours where prayer is replaced by outrage, kindness counters anger, and love creates space for people to be found. Every time one person is reminded of their worth in God's eyes, this is where Jesus celebrates and there is joy in heaven. So where does it leave us? Paul's story reminds us that none of us are too far from God. Jesus' parables remind us that God's heart beats for the lost, and there is much rejoicing in heaven when one is found. The invitation is simple, but it's life-changing. God cares for people. Let's live this and believe this good news, that God cares for the lost, God cares for you, and God cares for the community that we are a part of. When one is found, there's a big, big party. Are you in?